I sat on a hard metal folding chair, one inconsequential person in two rows of parents. Some knew each other, you could tell by their groupings. They gravitated towards each other, laughing. Happiness mixed with the smell of sweet muscle sweat permeated throughout the dojo. The sun streamed in through the floor-to-ceiling windows. The warm rays of light seemed to spread an extra layer of cheer, but yet I still felt cold, dead. I had once dreamed of becoming someone who could contribute to the good of humanity, to be the change I wished to see in the world and all that. Now I couldn't even relieve my own suffering. How was I going to help anyone else?
Growing up in Mexico City, my dream was to be a ballerina. My mom was 14 when she was pregnant with my older brother. She left me and my three siblings when I was 5 years old. My dad couldn't pay for my ballet classes anymore. My mom showed up again when I was 23. She said she left because my dad beat her. My dad's family said she left because she fell in love with somebody else. After staying with me for 3 months, my mom got a phone call. She said she has to leave, and then I never saw her again. Today, I don't know if she is dead or alive.
That day at the Taekwondo school, I'm sure I appeared to be a fully functioning, healthy member of society. Oh, I'd force a smile, and I'd make small talk with the other parents. Oh, little Susie did so good in class today. Did you see that jumping sidekick? It was a joy to watch my kids gain confidence and self-control, something that their father lacked. The mundane conversations that night masked my silent suffering. Thrown fists and fits of rage waited for me at home. I longingly looked at the adults and children in their white Taekwondo uniforms. They looked genuinely happy.
After I got married the first time, my husband didn't hate me, but he both said, "You are fat, you are ugly. I didn't want to marry you. I was scared to leave. What would I do if I get divorced? Nobody would love me."
I got married at 19, thinking my life was about to start, but the abuse started happening right away on the honeymoon. I tried to fix things, finding excuses for him, trying to still love the man that I thought he was, who he could be when he was in the part of the cycle of abuse where he would try to make up for what he had done.
My dad died, and I got divorced. I didn't have a reason to stay in Mexico. I want to run away. At 27, I came to the United States for the first time to visit my best friends in Los Angeles. She needed a cook. I helped out in her food truck, making hot dogs, cold sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. We parked outside on an airplane factory and worked 15 hours a day, sometimes napping on a piece of cardboard inside the truck.
I persisted, still having the gumption to reach my goals in my early 20s. I graduated from college and worked in the early childhood education field. I pursued my master's degree, studying interpersonal neurobiology, which is the study of how relationships affect the brain and therapeutic techniques to heal any damage that's been done. I'd been overseas on a humanitarian aid trip to Ethiopia. I'd become an adult learning instructor. Yet despite all of this, my home life was crumbling. My drive was replaced by the daily game of not setting him off. I could no longer even contact my family. When I became isolated at home as a stay-at-home mom, he took complete control over my life. I had to ask for grocery money. I had to ask to talk to people. And if he didn't like them, I couldn't be friends with them. I had to hide his violence and alcohol addiction from my children. And I hated my life. My only source of strength was being a mom to my kids.
I have a job in Mexico. I was an accountant in an old company. I went back and forth between jobs and contracts every 6 months, until I was laid off. I decided to stay in the United States and follow my friend out to Chicago, which eventually led me to Sioux City. At 37, I got pregnant. When I told my boyfriend, he went back to Mexico. I was a single mother raising a son.
When my daughter was in first grade, she was being physically bullied in school. From taking Taekwondo, even just the young classes, she learned to defend herself. Instead of feeling sad and disempowered about what happened, she felt proud and she stood up for herself. She kept herself from getting hurt that day.
In middle school, my son kept getting into fights. He says he was getting picked on. In high school, he fought back. I'd get called into meetings. They went going to suspend him from school. What happened with my sweet boy? He started going to Taekwondo without me knowing. When I found out, I didn't like it. But soon, I was starting to notice changes. He was more respectful, more confident, less angry and depressed. Even though I was scared of looking stupid, I wanted to try Taekwondo too. Maybe breaking balls would make me feel better about dealing with my son.
I studied those muscle blocks during the kids' Taekwondo classes. I hoped that they would provide protection for me too. I watched grown women spar on the martial arts mats. They knew how to maneuver their bodies to avoid injury. A leap here, dodging a punch there, throwing a solid left hook, making their opponent, a grown man, back up. If they could do it, surely I could do it too. I could walk away this time instead of being left balled up on the kitchen floor. I could put an end to leading this double life. I signed up for the adult classes and met my new training partner, a short Latino woman, 20 years older than me. It made me nervous to let a stranger get close to me, especially when her hands reached for my throat. By then, I had left my husband. I felt like a broken human being, deeply wounded inside and out. I needed a place to learn how to be strong for my four kids. They needed me to fight for them now more than ever. And Inez met me with kindness.
I couldn't wait for Wednesdays and Thursdays when I would see Jenny. She didn't care about where I came from. She didn't care what I can speak English very well or that I have a silly accent that I still have.
Inez was one of my bridesmaids when I married a wonderful man on New Year's Eve. She was by my side after the birth of our son, my fifth child.
She was there when my son graduated from high school. She was there on the day I became a United States citizen. That was today.
I turned to Taekwondo to find myself.
Then I found a sister along the way.
We hit the black punching bags over and over again, releasing all the anger and fear and loathing, suddenly feeling lighter, stronger. We stood together, drenched in sweat, smiling and laughing, understanding for the first time that the only approval we needed, we gave to ourselves.
Jenny Bullington, an author who now lives in Omaha, Nebraska, and Inez Cervantes, an English language learner tutor in the Sioux City Community School District, shared their story at Ode's Live Storytelling event last month. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week,
he thinks he's a famous rapper and that I've stolen $83 million from him. And that's why I'm keeping him in the facility.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next event is 7 p.m. Friday, August 4 at B Yoga Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Little Did I Know. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. This story was produced with the support of the Images and Voices of Hope Restorative Narrative Fellowship. The music you're hearing was played live by Jesus Iniguez at the event. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
Never alone. Always some new chaperone. Seems you're never the view, stay sure nobody's fool. That's the one thing they don't teach in school. You ain't nobody's fool. So don't worry, you'll turn out fine. Better off dead than waiting in line. Stick to that golden old rule. You ain't nobody's. Thank you.